Okay, the second case for oral argument this morning is State of South Dakota versus Martha Anders, Appalachia. For the appellant, State of South Dakota, is Mr. Gary Campbell, who's an Assistant Attorney General from Pierre. For the Appalachia, Ms. Anders is Paula DeCamp from Pennington County Public Defender's Office in Rapid City. Mr. Campbell, you may proceed, sir, and you have 20 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor, and thank you to the court for allowing me to present the state's position in this case. This case began in December of 2007 when the defendant, Martha Anders, stabbed Wayne Zunker in Rapid City. State's Attorney's Office filed a complaint and then had an a grand jury issued an indictment in which the defendant was charged with three felony counts. Count one, conspiracy to commit first-degree murder. Count two, attempted first-degree murder. And count three, aggravated assault. The state later filed a part two information alleging that Anders had a prior felony, third offense DUI, which under SDCL 227-7 would allow enhancement of felony that she was convicted of one level higher. The defense filed a motion to strike Part 2 information, and the trial court granted that motion after a hearing. The trial court based its decision on the notion that the third offense DUI felony was a status offense and not really a felony of the type that can be used to enhance another felony. Now, in so doing, it was following Carroll v. Solem, which was a case involving double enhancement of a prior felony DUI being used to enhance a later DUI felony. Now, that doubling is what was forbidden in Carroll v. Solem, although there is some language at the end of Carroll in the last paragraph, which indicates that DUI felonies are enhanced misdemeanors and therefore not the kind of felony which you can enhance with under 2277. Some years later, this court in State v. Fender, which Justice Sabers wrote, indicated that in a case where the DUI felony was being used to enhance a non-DUI felony, I believe that was a burglary case, that Carroll v. Solem did not apply, that it did not forbid the use of 2277 in that circumstance. Also in Fender, Justice Sabers went ahead and the court agreed that as there was a second non-DUI felony, that even if the DUI felony was not counted, that the enhancement would still be proper under 2277. Now, since then, apparently, DUI felonies after Fender have been used to enhance. I'm not personally aware of any such cases, but the trial court, Judge Davis, referred to that, as did the defense in their briefing in the lower court. Now, the state appeals from that order, and the state's position is that under Fender and under the statutes of South Dakota, that 2277 does permit the use of DUI felonies to enhance other felonies. Now, it's a different thing from saying what happened in Carroll, where you have a DUI felony being used to enhance another DUI. The idea being that DUI enhancements from first offense, second offense, third offense, and on up the line is a specific enhancement scheme that is the only kind of enhancement that applies to DUIs. State doesn't disagree with that. We do think, though, that 2277, as it allows enhancement with any felony, does allow for enhancement with the third offense DUI. Now, the trial court and the defense rely mainly on two lines of cases from Indiana and Nebraska, which say that DUI felonies cannot be used to enhance. I think that there's a substantive difference between our statutes and their statutes. Indiana has a very complex system of specifying which felonies are allowed to enhance which other felonies. So in Indiana, for instance, a DUI felony can be used to enhance another controlled substance or substance abuse kind of felony. But it's not allowed to enhance other kinds, different, completely different kinds of
felonies. Is that by statute?
Yes,
it is. Very specifically says that?
Yes. And there are all sorts of permutations in the Indiana statutes. And frankly, I got so confused that I actually wrote in my initial brief that a case in 1996 overruled a 2006 case. I don't know what happened there, but sometimes word processors bite us. Now, regarding Nebraska, Nebraska has a different wording from our statutes in that instead of saying any felony, it refers to any crime with a penalty above, I think, 1 year or above, something like that. And there's an Iowa case, the Bone case, which says that that is distinguished from a statute which provides for enhancement with a felony, because felony is a, you know, a different legal term. So I think under the Bone case, the Nebraska cases on which Carroll v. Solem was to a certain extent based are inapplicable. I think if you look at our statutes and you look at the Nebraska statutes and the Indiana statutes, our statutes are different, and our statutes do allow for the type of enhancement that is the state was asking for.
And
in
is this purely a statutory interpretation case?
Yes.
And so our analysis has to go to the plain meaning of those two, the interplay between the DUI statutes and the enhancement habitual offender statutes. And is there anything you can point to that would give us some indication from the plain language of those statutes that that's what the intent of the legislature was, is to allow third and more DWIs to actually enhance another felony?
Well, the DUI enhancement statutes say that a third offense DUI is a felony. And then the general enhancement statutes 2277 says that you can enhance with any felony. Now, it doesn't distinguish between the types of felonies the way Indiana does, and it doesn't define what you can use to enhance in non-felony language the way the Nebraska statutes do. Therefore, the state's argument is that the way South Dakota statutes are written, that enhancement is permitted. And another aspect of that is that the Fender case has been down since, I think, 1994, and there hasn't been any amendment made to legislatively change the law.
So what you're arguing then is that the statute allows, you know, even though the underlying DUI is a misdemeanor that
right.
you're convicted of, that when it is enhanced to a third or fourth and so on, then by law it becomes a felony as opposed to just an increase in punishment.
Right.
Is that right?
Yes. And since the statute does say that, you know, a third offense DUI is a felony, we think that that covers it.
And can we do that? Is there any reason not to, or is there some public policy underlying any of that, they're receiving more than what the legislature intended because of that?
I don't think so. I think that Now, that's one reason why I cited that U.S. Supreme Court Rodriguez case, because it said that when you look for it, and of course it's just an analogous situation. It's not exactly on point, and it's not controlling, but I think it's persuasive that for federal enhancement purposes under a particular statutory scheme, the Supreme Court said that when you're judging the seriousness of the felony, and I think the federal statute involved was talking about serious felonies being enhancing punishment, that you look not at what the unenhanced penalty is, but what it would be when it was enhanced, if it was an enhanced felony that you were enhancing with, which sort of sounds clumsy, but what the Supreme Court said was you look at the punishment that was imposed, and if it's an enhanced felony, it is more serious than an unenhanced. And here, the seriousness of the DUI is magnified by its repetition. So it's not strictly a status felony, but it is a more serious felony under Rodriguez, and I think it should be looked at that way by this court. And that is the sum of the state's position here. If there are no further questions, I will yield to the defense.
Thank you, Mr. Campbell.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Ms. Campbell, you have 20 minutes.
I'm going to start by asking that where we kind of left off. How do you get around the definition where it says if conviction for a violation of 3223(1) is for a third offense, the person is guilty of a Class 6 felony?
Your Honors, thank you. Thank you, Counsel. I think that is a good place to start. The sum of the state's argument is that this is statutory interpretation, and that statute is clear on its face, and therefore there's nothing more to discuss. I would submit that that is not the case, that it is not clearly a case of statutory interpretation, because if it were, then Carroll v. Solem, over 20 years ago, was wrongly decided. I think Carroll v. Solem is evidence to us today that this is not a clear case of statutory interpretation.
But in that case, there was a double enhancement for the underlying conviction.
Correct.
That's not the case here.
But we still interpreted the basis and the basic holding of Carroll v. Solem is still an interpretation of 2277. And what was decided and what this court held in Carroll v. Solem is that the DUI sentencing scheme and DUI enhancement is unique. It is in of itself a unique creature, if you will, and that it is separate from 2227. 2227 states clearly that any felony talks about prior felonies and talks about current felonies. But this court in Carroll v. Solem declared that, and if you'll look at that statute, that on the face of this language, 2227, it purports to apply to principal felonies and prior felonies as opposed to misdemeanors, which are enhanced to felony status. I think that this is an important distinction. I think there is a distinction between misdemeanors, which are enhanced to felony status. They are misdemeanors. This court further solidified that position in State v. Helling. Watkins, Holliday, and State v. Helling all discussed the status of a habitual criminal defendant. That person is defined as a felon by status, not by conduct. The offenses in which they are charged and convicted are misdemeanors. The subsequent enhancement is a punishment, is a penalty enhancement. We use those habitual offenders to punish repeated conduct. This court, the Supreme Court of the United States, has frequently held that those are nothing but punishment enhancements. They do not create a new offense. That's clear in Helling, Watkins, Holliday, and that line of cases.
So you committed DWI 3 times, not DWI third offense.
Correct.
Okay.
And that's what it says. If you look at a Part 2 information, the Part 2 information says, we allege that this is a third offense because he has a prior conviction on Date 1 and Date 2, and therefore that's the allegation. In State v. Helling, the defendant was denied felony-level peremptory challenges because this court held he's subject to a misdemeanor. This is a misdemeanor, and you are subject to three penalties. And because we find that the enhancement is a punishment enhancement, and in fact, and I quote, it does not create a new offense, but merely authorizes the trial court in its discretion to impose a more severe penalty upon one who has been found to have the status of a habitual criminal.
But the question isn't whether it's a new offense. The question is, how do you categorize the offense? Is it categorized as a misdemeanor or a felony?
Well, it certainly is. He certainly has felony-level punishment. But I think the offense for which he has committed is a misdemeanor. But DUIs are unique. DUIs are self-contained in their own statute. And I would like to point to Justice Meyer Henry. You indicated, or you asked...
Before you move on, though, if you were to ask the defendant after the third sentencing in DUI, have you been convicted of a felony, what would you say?
Well, certainly the answer to that is yes. They have a felony conviction on their record. But the question then, for enhancement purposes, I think it's a separate question for enhancement purposes. One of the points, and you'll have to forgive me, and I think it goes to legislative intent. Certainly the legislature intended when they created the second, third, fourth offense, or third, fourth, and fifth offense, they envisioned additional punishment for individuals who create repeated conduct, and they intended that that would be felony-level punishment. However, I don't know that they intended that that would subsequently be able to be used for 2277. The state pointed out, and Justice Meyer Henry asked the question about legislative intent. This court decided in Carroll v. Solemn that you couldn't enhance an already enhanced crime. You had a misdemeanor individual who was then subsequently convicted in an enhanced punishment to felony level punishment by repeated DUI conduct. This court then said you could not apply 2277 to subsequently further enhance that even more. And that was decided in June of 1988. The legislature had the opportunity at that point to amend 2277 to specifically include DUIs. They didn't do that. What they did in 1989 is they changed the DUI law and added a DUI 4. So they increased the punishment in 1989 on a DUI 4, and they increased the punishment again, and we created a new offense for DUI 5. We've kept the enhancement for DUI within the DUI statute. The legislature has never amended or touched the definition of 2277 to include a felony DUI. And I think that's important because in Fender, when Fender was decided in 1994, this issue was not squarely addressed before the court. It was an issue. Fender came on a completely different issue, and that was a second or third argument that he made, and it was just a comment by this court that even if it was an error, it was harmless error because he had another felony. So this issue has never been squarely presented to this court. The state mentioned that DUIs have been used to enhance and that he wasn't personally aware of it. I've practiced in Pennington County for 13 years, and I will tell this court that DUI felonies, it is the position of the state that they can put a felony DUI on a Part 2 information. However, in 13 years, I have never seen, until Ms. Anders' case, in which an individual has solely a DUI felony for enhancement purposes, and that's the reason we challenged it. It has been the position of the defense bar that Fender is not a controlling precedent, and that Carroll v. Solemn is still a solid case to look at, and the spirit of Carroll v. Solemn prohibits this, and that a DUI is, in fact, a misdemeanor. which has been enhanced, and it is a status felony versus a true felony.
But here, in this case, it's a flip version of Carroll.
That is correct.
And so does that make a difference? Because here, it's not enhancing another DWI. Because obviously, Carroll would probably control that. And we've already said that.
Yes.
You couldn't use a prior DWI to enhance a current DWI felony. But in this case, where it's not enhancing another DWI, it's enhancing what was her offense?
Well, there were three of them: conspiracy to commit first degree murder, attempted, and aggravated assault. The case is still pending. It's one of those.
But it, you know, why? What is that a difference? I guess I should ask: can we use a DWI third felony to enhance a another different kind of felony because it doesn't fall within the concept of a double enhancement for the DUI itself?
But I think it does. I think that I understand the justice question, and certainly there is a difference, but I think it's still a double enhancement. It's still a stacking. You're still taking somebody who had misdemeanor conduct and using that, they've already been enhanced to felony punishment, and now you're using that to further enhance them. In trying to figure out a way to think of this, I was trying to think of some terms that might make some sense, and I thought of these, and forgive me if they don't quite fit, but little felonies and big felonies. In a situation under Carroll v. Solem, you couldn't take a DWI third offense and enhance that with a really big felony. You have an individual who has an aggravated assault or a murder. You couldn't enhance, under Carroll v. Solem, you couldn't take, and this goes to your public policy comment as well, you couldn't take that individual, have them subject to the penalty enhancement for the DWI, and then say, because you have a murder, we're going to enhance you again. But you can take someone who has a bigger felony and say, because you have this little felony in your past, we're going to use that to double enhance you. So I think it is the same thing, and I think that it does go to that issue of stacking.
If we adopted the state's argument here today, would we be overruling Carroll?
I think in some ways you would. And I think what's critical in Carroll is that when I struggled with this, the more I struggled with how to brief this and how to present, I couldn't get past Carroll. Looking at other states and all the research we did, I couldn't get past, on its face, this language purports to apply to principal and prior felonies as opposed to misdemeanors enhanced to felony status. This conclusion is in keeping with our holding that the Habitual Offender Act is highly penal enactment and therefore it should be strictly construed and implied. It's also consistent in State v. Helling, where we held a person charged with third offense DUI is not entitled to additional felony peremptory challenges on the underlying charge. I couldn't get over this because I think that we have already, this court has already defined 22227. It refers to principal felonies, prior felonies. It does not apply to misdemeanors which have been enhanced. I think that's what this court has said. And so, yes, I think that if you were to uphold the state's position today, that, in fact, you would be certainly gutting the spirit of Carroll v. Solem. And I don't think you would be overruling Fender. I think Fender, as I indicated previously, I think that is not a controlling precedent, that it is, at best, perhaps it is a dicta, in that if it was error, it was harmless error because he had another one. And certainly in Pennington County, this is the first, in 13 years, this is the first encounter in which I've had an individual who has only that. In talking with my colleagues in Minnehaha County, they don't even use the DUI as a predicate felony under 2277. So I think you would, Justice Meyer Henry, and I think Justice Saber's comments in the opinion of Carroll, I think that those stand, and I think we've already defined, and that 2277 does not include or does not refer to misdemeanors that have been enhanced to felonies. And I think that the legislature has had 20 years to modify this to specifically state 2277 will and shall include the use of a DUI felony, like other states have done.
Isn't there a major distinction here, though, between a situation in which there's two enhancements in one sentencing proceeding and the case where there was an enhancement years ago on the occurrence of one offense, and then there's another enhancement a few years later for a second offense?
Yes, I think that it's fair to say that there's a difference between those, but the ultimate conclusion still comes down to it's still a double enhancement. Miss Anders is still being punished for this being she's a felon by status, not by conduct. The conduct, the offenses that she committed were misdemeanors. And our legislature has created the penalty enhancement for repeated misdemeanor conduct. And that's true of other states have other areas. You could have petty thefts. Driving traffic offenses can create felony status by virtue of repeated conduct. But she's still being double enhanced. She's still being punished harsher because she has misdemeanor conduct on her record versus, for example, if she'd had another aggravated assault or another murder or another serious felony in her background, a felony conduct she has committed in her past, she hasn't committed previous felonious conduct, but rather misdemeanor conduct. And so while there is a distinction between having a misdemeanor enhanced to a felony and severe punishment subject to additional punishment in that situation versus what we have here, but you still end up with the same result. You still have an individual who is facing penalty and punishment enhancement for what was misdemeanor conduct.
Well, the language of 2277 uses the word, the wording, if a defendant has been convicted of one or two prior felonies. Has she been convicted of a felony?
Well, I guess I would say that she pleads guilty or is found guilty by a court of the Part 1 information, which is the DWI, and then subsequently she admits. Do you admit or deny that you are the same person that has these two prior convictions? I admit. And then the judge then subsequently finds them guilty of third offense DUI. That's sort of the practice. So I suppose technically under the term conviction, yes, she's been convicted. She certainly has the punishment and the consequences for having a felony on her record with the DWI-3. That's true of everyone. But you still have to go back to the fundamental nature of what is a DUI-3. It's a misdemeanor. Certainly at the time of trial, she was not facing a misdemeanor. She was not entitled to 10 preemptory challenges. She was certainly not subject to that. She was given only, under Helling, she's only entitled to 3 preemptories because her offense is a misdemeanor. We then say, as a result of your offense, because you have these priors, we are now going to categorize you as we're going to call you the status of a habitual criminal, and therefore, as a result of that status, we're going to allow the trial court, in its discretion, to increase your punishment. Justices, I do see that my time is winding down, and there is one quick thing I wanted to bring to the attention of the court, and I apologize, this is something that escaped my attention until Monday when I was doing some review, and I did want to bring it up. It's a matter of subject matter jurisdiction, which I believe can be raised at any time. I would note that the certificate of service, the notice of entry of order, and the order in this matter was filed on April 4th of 2008, and that the state's attorney in this case filed their notice of appeal on April 15th of 2008, which would be the 11th day. Under the statutes, I believe that it is required that notice of appeal be filed on the 10th day. Again, I apologize for not catching this earlier, but I do believe that the court, I would ask the court to take a look. I believe that there's a possibility that this case does not actually have subject matter jurisdiction, or this court does not have subject matter jurisdiction. I have researched the statutes to see if there is a time delay statute here. The time delay statute, there was a statute that was amended, which does perhaps control. I'm not sure. It is located in the civil code, and I'm not sure that the computation of time, it would be 15.6.6a, which allows that if a requirement is less than 10 days, Saturdays, Sundays, and legal holidays would be excluded. However, I don't believe that that case, that computation would apply to this case. I believe that's for civil briefs. For the Supreme Court appeal, I believe that the controlling statute would, in fact, be 23A41(1), which has not been amended because this is a criminal case and it's taken, this appeal is taken under 23A. And I think that is an issue for this court. Obviously, it has not been briefed by either party, and certainly if the court feels that that's something that we need to brief, I would be happy to submit a supplemental brief.
So you're saying that because of the, there may have been a delay in the appeal, which would not give us then any jurisdiction to even hear this case?
That appears to possibly be correct, and I would refer the court also to State v. Waters, and which is a 1991 case, and State v. Mulligan, which is a 2005 case. Those sort of dealt with intermediate appeals. This is an appeal certainly of right by the prosecution, but because it was filed on the 11th day, unless there is a time delay statute that controls, unfortunately, I believe that the notice of appeal by the state's attorney in this matter would be untimely.
Thank you. Your time has expired, Ms. Campbell.
Thank you.
Mr. Campbell, you have 10 minutes, sir.
Thank you, Your Honor. Regarding the jurisdictional issue, I wasn't aware of it until today. And if the court wants additional briefing, then we'd be glad to do so.
I'll grant each side 7 days. Just letter briefs are fine, because you're both getting hit cold on this, especially you, Mr. Campbell, unless there's an objection from the bench. Okay.
Thank you, Your Honor. Now, regarding the merits of this case, I think that the reliance on Carroll v. Solem is misplaced. It does not deal with the situation that was faced in Fender, where you have a DUI used to enhance a different kind of felony. Carroll v. Solem does contain language which does support the defense's argument. But in the context of that case, they were talking about DUI enhancing DUI. Where you have DUI enhancing a different kind of felony, I think Fender is the correct authority. And Fender says that Carroll does not prevent this type of enhancement.
What about this wording of conviction? If the defendant has been convicted of one or two prior felonies, in a DUI, the conviction is for a misdemeanor. We've pretty much said that.
Well, but the statute goes on to, the DUI statute goes on to say that that third conviction is a felony.
But has she been convicted of a felony? I guess there is a
subtle
difference there.
I would say under the statute that she has been, and that it does count as a felony for 2277.
And actually, in the habitual criminal matter, you would get your preempts based on a felony, being charged with a felony, right?
Yes.
Whereas when you're on DUIs, it's still a misdemeanor until it comes up to a conviction.
Right. I agree, Your Honor. So, on the basis of our statutes, on the basis of case law from other states looking at the Indiana and Nebraska statutes on which Carroll was based, and by extension they would be looking at Carroll the same way, that a DUI third offense felony is a felony usable to enhance a different type of felony. You don't have the problem you have in Carroll where you're applying 2277 on top of the specific DUI enhancement. So on the basis of the case law, on the basis of the statutes, I would say that 2277 is properly applied here. And with that, unless there are more questions.
Other than DUI, would this ever come up? Is DUI probably the only one that would fall under this kind of a theory? Are there any other underlying misdemeanors that are enhanced to felonies?
There may be with some drug felonies. I'm not sure, but DUI felony is the only one I'm aware of specifically like this. So in summary, I would ask that this court reverse the trial court's dismissal of the Part 2 information, provided, of course, that this court has jurisdiction.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Court will be in recess.